Good evening. Let's take our hymn books and turn to hymn number 262. There's Power in the Blood, 262. Would you stand with me as we sing? We got a ladies' ensemble tonight. With some backup on men, all right? Here we go.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you our evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Verse number 4, would you deserve for Jesus your King? Power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Lord, thank you for the blood that washes whiter than snow. The sin that we've committed, Lord, because of the blood, we have remission of sin through the gift of salvation. Continue to be with us tonight as we sing. Bless our time together, and might we be encouraged. We pray in thy name. Amen. 143, you may be seated. 143. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. 143.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Great. 345. I was once a sinner, but I have a new name in glory. 345.
I was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I know that he always kept his word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown, when the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. In the book is written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by his blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. Robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam.
Written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hymn number 230. Glory to his name. 230.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
And take time to be holy. 429. Let's stand and sing these three verses together, all right? Yeah, before Pastor comes with our challenge tonight.
Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. In thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide. In his word.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thanks, Michelle and Tom.
I have a prayer request that has been given to me for Jody Sandel's mother. Her mom had her gallbladder taken out today. Surgery went well. Pray for healing for Jody Sandel's mother. And I don't know the name at this point. But we do know Jody, and we'll be praying for her mom especially. Returning to Psalm 113. Psalms is a good place to come back to repeatedly. Because in the Psalms, I think there's every human situation that's addressed, explained, addressed in perspective of who God is and how we can respond to his leading and guiding in our life. And Psalm 113 is no exception to that. We can call it the Hallelujah Psalm. George Frideric Handel's Messiah. Originally, it was an Easter offering. It was first presented to the public on the stage of the Music Hall in Dublin, Ireland, on April 13th of 1742. The audience that day was numbering around 700 people. These ladies had heeded the pleas of management to wear dresses without hoops so that they would have room for more people to come and sit. The audience was mesmerized from the moment the tenor followed the mournful string overture with his piercing opening line, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. And of course, Messiah is now a fixture around the Christmas season. How many of you ever heard the Messiah performed? Many of you have. Almost all of us. The director of the London Handel Orchestra, Lawrence Cummings, said this, the chorus propels the work forward with great emotional impact and uplifting messages. And you know why that is? Because the words are lifted right from Scripture, many of them. The most thrilling part of that whole piece is, of course, the Hallelujah chorus. Many years before Handel composed his most famous work, the Jewish people had a Hallelujah chorus. And it consisted of these psalms, beginning at Psalm 113 through 118. They were sung repeatedly throughout the year and in their entirety at the annual feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. They're sung at the time of the new moon, except when the moon heralded a new year. And what these psalms teach us is that God would have his people be a preeminently praising people. A praising people. You know, we ought to go through each day singing, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord for the many blessings that he gives to us." That word praise and its synonyms occur in the Psalms no less than 186 times. So no matter how sad, no matter how sorrowful your life situation may be, learn to praise the Lord through it all. And this particular group of Psalms, again, was sung at Passover. Let's read Psalm 113. There are just 9 verses here. And really, it's impossible to read them or meditate upon them without thinking the Lord Jesus Christ there in the upper room. The shadow of the cross of Calvary lay across his path. Gethsemane and Golgotha awaited him just hours ahead. And there he sat with Peter, James, and John, and Thomas, and Matthew, Philip, and Nathaniel, and all the rest. And we can just imagine that he may have led his disciples out of themselves and into the eternal truths of the will and word of God as they sang these psalms together. Perhaps we'll sing them with him in glory someday. "Praise ye the Lord," the psalmist says. "Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." And we sang a song here, "Glory to his name." Think of all the names and the titles that are given to Jesus Christ. And we are to give proper weight. That's what glory means, giving proper weight to the Lord and to his names. When you think about all of those names and titles, it is something that we can meditate upon all year through. From the rising of the sun, this is verse 3, unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. And so as we study this psalm tonight, remember, when shadows lengthen, when circumstances become heavy, that there were never darker or longer shadows than those which wrapped around that upper room that night with the Lord and his disciples. Nor were shadows ever so gloriously dispelled on that third day when he arose from the dead. So we're going to look at a couple of things here. The first is the Lord demands praise, as we read there in verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's pray together, first of all. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege we have to look into it this evening, to consider its truths in our life, how it can affect us and guide us. Teach us what we need to know, Father, to be a praising people, to bring you the proper weight that you deserve in our worship and praise. We'll thank you for this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord demands praise. This is the first note that's sounded in this psalm, and the psalmist spells it out, and he draws our attention to it with his rightful claim. What the hell happened here? Where did it go? There we go. It came back on. His rightful claim. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, in other words. It's the Lord's servants here who are called upon to praise him. And you and I serve a good master. There is none like him in earth below or in the heavens above. And he deserves our best. Even when the tasks that are assigned to us are hard, seemingly unrewarding, sometimes tedious, often bitterly opposed by wicked people, sometimes misunderstood, misinterpreted by other believers. But our Lord deserves service, faithful, smiling service. And that's how we ought to exercise that service before our Lord. He has a rightful claim to our praise. And as we serve him daily, let's praise him as well. We're privileged to be called into his service. And what we do to serve him is less important. Our calling may be to preach to millions. It may be to pass on a word of testimony to one individual in the street corner with a tract or whatever it may be. But he has a rightful claim to our praise. Colossians 3 and verse 24 says, "Ye serve the Lord Christ." Let's remember that. No matter what you're doing in your home, your family, with your work, the fellow workers, fellow members of the church, we serve the Lord Christ. And that ennobles all service. So we have this rightful claim of the Lord to be served, since we are his servants, honored to be called to wait upon him, to do his will, to be a part of what he's accomplishing in this world. He has every right to expect that we will do it with praise to him. It ennobles our service. His royal name, we find that in verse 1 and 2, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And there are many songs in our hymn book that talk about blessing the name of the Lord. Three times in three verses, mention is made of the name of the Lord. And God revealed himself through his names in the Old Testament. You remember some of those names and titles? Elohim, the Creator God. Adonai, meaning Lord or ruler. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. El Elyon, God Most High. El Shaddai, God the Sufficient One. Name after name, revelation after revelation concerning the names and the titles of the Lord God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. As we cross over to the New Testament, there is a wonderful phrase that we learn the name of our Father. Our Father. The psalmist tells us to praise the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore, it's because his name is a manifold expression of who he is. Can someone understand that? Because in a far lesser sense, the same is true of us. Few things are more precious in life than a good name. In fact, what does the book of Proverbs say about that? A good name is rather to be had than precious gold or silver, I think, something like that. But Jesus has given us the honor of bearing his name. We carry his name wherever we go as believers. And so let's do nothing to tarnish that name before others. He would keep the dignity of that royal name ever before us. We serve him not with a rebellious spirit, but we serve him because he has given us back our lost dignity. He's given us a high calling in Christ, and he wants to keep his name before us. And then we'll properly praise him and spread the honor of his name. The psalmist likewise keeps before us the appropriateness of praising the Lord. And that's what we find there in verse 3, his resounding fame. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And that tells me that his name is to be praised every moment of the day. It encircles the wide belt of the earth. From the distant east, around the circumference of the globe, to the farthest west, the psalmist wanted the Lord's praise to be sung. And so it is. It's being praised in Uruguay, where Paul and Joanna are serving the Lord. It's praised in Germany, where Joel and Jody Sandahl are serving the Lord. In Antofagasta, in Arica, where the Perrys and the Flinks are serving the Lord, it's being praised. All of these places, in the Philippines, it's being praised as well. That praise will not end when the last scripture verse is read, when the last hymn is sung, the closing prayer is given. The praise will follow the sun across the Midwest prairies, over the Rocky Mountains, up and down the western seaboard, and then on out to sea. It is a resounding fame that will be sounded. So the Lord demands praise, but he also desires praise in verses 4 through 6. And the psalmist here is drawing our attention to three themes in order to awaken in us a desire to gratify our Lord's desire to be praised. The first is the theme of glory. That's what praise is. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. There are those nations that have dedicated themselves to the spread of atheism. They will never win because the Lord is high above all nations. They're a mere drop in the bucket to him, and he can upset that bucket any time that he desires. And so the psalmist here would have lift up our eyes above those who think in their foolish pride and arrogance and ignorance that they can overthrow God. They will never do that. He said, his glory is above the heavens, so look up. Yes, we can see it in our mind's eye, a land of fadeless day, a land where they pave the streets with gold, they build the walls with jasper, make the gates of pearl. We see a land where time is no more. We see flowing from the throne of God a crystal stream. We see the lightnings play like liquid fire to form the dazzling draperies against which that throne is set. We see the one who sits on that throne. In fact, John wrote about it in Revelation chapter 4 and 5 when he said, thou art worthy, O Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So praise is the theme of glory. But his greatness is the content of praise. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwells on high? Think of the great men of the earth, the world's thinkers, Plato's, Socrates, Aristotle, Solomon, Newton, Einstein. You can summon the world's religious leaders. You could summon the world's conquerors. All in comparison to God, are miserable counselors and a miserable crowd. Because all greatness is the content of praise when we are praising our God. All of the world's great ones are dwarfed before him. Their wisdom is seen to be nothing. They're like men picking up pebbles on the seashore of knowledge. And when they have gathered all that they can carry, they have gleaned nothing of all that remains to be known. Their religions are seen to be false. Their conquests built them empires of sand that are swept away by the rising of a later tide, and they shrink away in confusion and in shame. So his greatness is the content of praise, but his grace is the climax of praise. Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? I think this is the best theme of them all. Although he is so high, he's willing to stoop down and see how things are here on this earth. He sits in the heavens, yes, but he sees what's here. And seeing the Lord in that upper room that night, if we can picture that in our mind's eye, we realize that he clothed himself in humility. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, as Philippians 2 talks about. This is the supreme manifestation of his grace. And that should stimulate each and every one of us to desire to praise him as we ought. He desires praise. He demands praise, but he also deserves praise. We see that in the last three verses, 7 through 9. We live in a world that has been ruined by sin. Someone has described it as a veil of tears. The psalmist reminds us that the Lord deserves praise because his kindness is demonstrated to the downtrodden. And he does two wonderful things for those who are downtrodden. He brings them up from the pit. Up from the pit. Verse 7. It says, he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill. And here, there are two Old Testament metaphors here for poverty and degradation. The garbage of a Middle Eastern town was collected and dumped in a heap outside of the walls. Beggars and lepers, those who were afflicted with some terrible disease and other outcasts, would gather there at night. They would lie down near the ashes of the garbage heap because the fires were there to keep them warm. And we see this metaphor here where he raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill. Although the world's great have little concern for such people, the Lord does. He looks out over the cities of the earth, noisy slums, millions of people who make the streets their home, who at best have a flimsy shanty, a spot under a bridge for a home, usually going hungry to bed, and he has an offer for them. What does he offer them? The best thing ever. He offers them life everlasting. The bread of life. He offers them a place in his kingdom. Rank and royalty in the world to come. He offers to bring them up from the pit, up from the miry clay, up from the dust and the dunghill. Not only does he bring them up from the pit, he also brings them into the palace, that he may set him with princes. Where do princes reside? In a palace. Even with the princes of his people. He offers to make them a part of the aristocracy of heaven. And the gospel appeal has always been to the poor. Jesus said, you remember this when he said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. Paul said this way, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And he didn't say not any, but he said not many. History has proven him right. And the rank and file of the kingdom of God have come from the downtrodden of the earth. His kindness is to the distressed. We see that in the last verse. He makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Verses 6 and 7 of this psalm seem to be a reference to the song of Hannah back in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. And as you remember, Hannah wept and prayed before the Lord to be delivered from the burden of barrenness. God heard her cry. God gave her a child. What was his name? Samuel, which means asked of God. And she brought him back. She presented him to the Lord to be raised by the priest, to be a lifelong Nazarite, to grow up to be one of God's nobility. And when she brought her little boy to Eli, the high priest, she thanked God for lifting her out of the dust of despair. Let me read to you what she said there in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 8. He, the Lord, raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Wow, that sounds almost exactly word for word what is being said here in Psalm 113. Verse 7 perhaps looks ahead to the future. When Mary learned from the angel Gabriel that she was to become the mother of the Messiah, she sang this, he has exalted them of low degree. She has filled the hungry with good things. And we read that in Luke chapter 1, verses 52 and 53. So Psalm 113 really crowns womanhood with motherhood. And fitting that we would be able to see that and learn about this on the Sanctity of Life Sunday as well. One scholar suggests that Psalm was written by a king while awaiting the birth of his firstborn. And it ends on the same note in which it began, praise ye the Lord. And surely we can sing our own Reverend Hallel. And we're going to do that tonight, Steve, 289 in the hymn book. So if you want to turn there, we're going to sing that song, Man of Sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And let's sing those verses, 289 in our hymn books.
We'll sing all five verses because they tell a story. All right? 289.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the love that you show us. Lord, thank you for who you are and the Savior that you have been and continue to be. Lord, thank you for the ruined sinners that we were, and that you took us from that miry pit and set our feet upon a rock. Then established our goings to go out and minister to those people in need, and also to present the gospel to those in need as well. Help us to do that this week as we serve you. We pray this in thy name. Amen.